quite a long reading, so I'll read it slowly, but we're going to concentrate mainly up to verse 30, but we will cover the whole lot because it's the last teaching block. So let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 and verses 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained, and likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came, brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, that one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as the least of these you did not do it to me. Sorry. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Well, we've now come to the last part of the five teaching blocks in Matthew's Gospel. We've been working through that for over a year now. Last month, we learnt from the parable of the wise and foolish virgins that we must be ready for the second coming of Jesus. We all must be ready for the second coming of Jesus. And the only way in which we can be ready for the second coming of Jesus is if we put our faith and trust in Jesus for our eternal salvation. That's the only way that we can be ready for the second coming of Jesus. The way of salvation through Jesus is to recognize our own sinful nature, and that our sin separates us from our Creator, the God of the Bible. That is the first thing you need to recognize, is your own sinful nature. That's a hard thing to do, but that's the first point that you must have come to in your life, recognizing that we're born with this sinful nature. We're not born perfect, and the world doesn't corrupt us. We're born corrupt, and the world continues to corrupt us. And that our sin, our sinful nature, separates us from our Creator, the God of the Bible. And judgment for our sin will surely come unless we accept Jesus has taken the punishment himself as a way of being our substitute sacrifice in our place. Okay? We accept our sinful nature. We accept that we are created from the God of the Bible, and we're going to be judged, we're going to be punished. But we need to accept that Jesus was sent into this world to take our punishment. However, it's not enough to recognize our sin and to acknowledge Jesus. We need to repent about it and confess our need to Jesus. Now, this is hard to do, especially if you are a law-abiding citizen, especially if you feel that you've really not done very much wrong in your life. However, like Simon Peter, when you understand who Jesus really is, God in human form, and you meet with Jesus, then repentance is the only option. See, Peter went on a fishing trip, and in his own strength, he didn't catch anything. But then Jesus said, go over there. That's where you'll get the fish. And then he started to catch these fish, and he realized that Jesus was a better fisherman than him, because Jesus was God. And in Luke 5 and 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw it, saw the miracle of Jesus, and saw Jesus, who Jesus really was, he fell down at his knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. So once you meet Jesus face to face, or spiritually come before him and his holiness, then you realize how sinful we are. Even as a Christian, the closer you get to Jesus, the more aware you are of your sinful nature. So, our Bible reading is split up into two clear sections. The first section is a parable that Jesus teaches to illustrate the need to be wisely active as we wait for the second coming. The second section is Jesus' teaching about what will happen when Jesus returns. It mainly concerns the judgment of the nations. Jesus will divide the sheep from the goats. Verse 31 to 34, it says, and when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So that's how it's going to be. We can't change it. Firstly, we will deal with the parable of the talents, and then with the judgment at the second coming of Jesus. So first of all, the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Now, the Bible is full of challenges to take advantage of opportunities while they're available. Proverbs 10, verse 5 says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. So you've got to work while the harvest is there. That's what it means. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Now, in my hometown of Sidmouth in Devon, they have an Anglican church with a huge great tower, and there's a clock, and it says, what time is it? And then underneath it says, it's time to seek the Lord. So everyone who looks at the clock to check the time, they realize it's time to seek the Lord. So basically, people need to seek God while he is available, while he is here, and while they're here. John 12, 35 to 36, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. While you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you, he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So Jesus is saying, you know, while you have the opportunity to believe in me, take that opportunity. You're not always going to have it. So the tragedy of a wasted opportunity is the theme of the parable of the talents. But there's more. Though the parable of the talents has relevance to every generation and to our generation, Jesus was speaking at this time in the context directly about the generation that will be living when he returns. Okay, we went into the fact that over a period of 20 years, these things will be happening. Matthew 24, 34. The exact time of Jesus' return will not be known in advance, but the imminence of it will be manifested by spectacular and unmistakable signs. So in that last period, there's going to be amazing signs, and people will say, hey, what's going on here? Well, those who know and love Jesus will know they have Bibles that this is about the second coming of Jesus. So the parable of the talents illustrates four aspects of spiritual opportunity. Number one, the responsibility we have. Number two, the reaction we have. Number three, the judgment we all face. And number four, the reward that we can gain. But before we begin this parable, there's one important thing that we need to understand that has probably been overlooked up to now. And it is the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, verse 14. Now, in the New Testament, the phrase, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, is frequently used. And these phrases are frequently used in two different ways. And this is kind of important. Sometimes it refers to the invisible body of all redeemed people. Jesus used it in this sense when he spoke in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3. He said, and assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So, it's not in a sense a physical kingdom, because we don't look around and say, oh, he's got a tattoo up here, so he must be a Christian, and that they haven't got a tattoo. So, there's no visible way of identifying the kingdom, but there is an invisible sense. So, all Christians in the world are in this kingdom. Right. Now, this is the kingdom in its pure and exclusive sense. That's what Jesus is talking about. But sometimes The kingdom of heaven refers to the outward body of those who profess to know Jesus and serve Jesus. So there's another reference to the kingdom, and that includes everybody who professes to know and love Jesus, people who attend church or whatever. Anyone who says, yes, I'm a Christian, regardless of lifestyle or anything else, yes, I'm a Christian. So they profess, so outwardly it's a kind of physical presence of people in a church. Now, Jesus made it clear that there will be true and false in outward appearance. There will be the genuine Christian, and then there will be the imitation Christian. Now, in both of the parables that Jesus teaches here, the wise and foolish virgins and the parable of the talents, Jesus is referring to the outward profession of people. Both of the parables reveal that there is true and false in professing Christians. Now, it's not easy to recognize the true and the false in professing believers. But Jesus did say, by their fruits you shall know them. Matthew 7 and 20 says, as it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, John 16 verses 8, then anyone who continues in sin and behaves in a sinful way without repentance is unlikely to be a child of God. Because Christians sometimes sin, but they should repent of their sin and trust in Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is living in them, convicting them. So they can't live with themselves, they have to say sorry. Okay? So people may profess to be a Christian, but if they continue with sin without repentance, there is a problem there. Okay? So this is the two things that Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now, in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that book was written by John to Christians. Okay? So it kind of applies to everybody. So we acknowledge that there are the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus is sometimes talking to the outward kingdom, and sometimes he's talking to the inward kingdom. So let's examine this parable. First of all, verses 14 to 15, the responsibility we have. Now, in verses 14 to 15, we're introduced to a wealthy man who is about to travel to a far-off country. He called his servants together and gave talents to each of his servants according to their ability. Now, usually, talents refers to money. In this case, it was not the amount of money that was given. That wasn't the important issue. It was the responsibility to use that money for the wealthy owner of the property and the land. So not the amount of money that people received, it was the responsibility to use what they were given. Now, in this case, Jesus represents the wealthy landowner. So Jesus was saying, this is me. The servants of the wealthy man represent the followers of Jesus. So everybody who professes to know and love Jesus as their personal Savior will be given some responsibility from Jesus. Now, the money represents the resources that are given to professing believers in Jesus. So those who are truly His and those who profess to be His. Now, these resources could be actual money. I could today give you 1 million yen. What would you do with the money? Would you spend it on yourself or would you invest it for some Christian activity? This gift could represent time. We can't buy time. There's only 24 hours in a day. What do we do with our time? Do we spend it on the computer? Do we share our faith with people? What do we do with our time? It's a gift. Time is not something that we can buy. It's something that we have every day. Or it could represent gifts or talents. We have musicians here every week. They could say, well, I don't want to play music. I just want to sit down. But they use their gifts and their talents. So no professing Christian can say that they do not have any responsibility to serve Jesus with the gifts and talents that they're giving. So every Christian has a responsibility with what we have. You may only have 100 yen, but you could have 1 million yen. That doesn't matter. It's what you do with your 100 yen or your 1 million yen that's important. Not everyone has a gift of music or whatever the gift, but we all have something. We have responsibility. Secondly, verses 16 to 18 is the reaction that we have. In verses 16 to 18, we're told about the way each servant reacted to the money that their master gave them. The one who had received 5 talents was very keen to serve his master and immediately used the money wisely to trade, and he doubled his money. They say if you've got money, you can make money. That's how it works in the world. In this context, the word traded carries the idea of doing business over a period of time. So we're not talking about just a one-off stock market investment. The servant didn't just make one transaction and then did nothing. He traded over a period of time. Okay, that's the whole point, over a period of time. The point here is that he used what he had received and took full advantage of the money that he was given. It was exactly the same with the servant who received 2 talents. Okay, not the amount of money, it's what you actually do with that money. However, the servant who received 1 talent, he dug a hole in the ground and hid the money that he had received. Now, hiding money in the ground was a common practice in the ancient world. There were no banks or safety deposit boxes. So it was quite common, if you wanted to hide your money or keep the money, you drug a hole in your ground, and that's where you put your money. Now, the problem here is that hiding money in the ground is not a good way of carrying on in business and making a profit. So if you put your money in a box and put it in the ground and leave it for a long time, you can take it out, and with inflation, it'll probably be worth not very much at all. Now, although this servant had been given less money than the other servant, he had the same obligation to use it wisely in the best possible way. We'll see later that this servant had the wrong thinking about his master. Wrong thinking about the person of Jesus will always result in the wrong service for Jesus. I'll repeat that because it's very important. Wrong thinking about the person of Jesus will always result in the wrong service for Jesus. It's about relationships here, okay? Understanding who Jesus is and your personal relationship with him should always be your motivation for service, okay? So this person who dug a hole in the ground didn't know much about the person who gave him the money. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put the money in the ground. So it's about this relationship, okay? And then thirdly, the judgment that we all face, verses 19 to 27. The exact length of time that the owner was away is not mentioned here. However, we do know that it was quite a long time. The owner returned and firstly approached the servant to whom he had given 5 talents. He said that he gained 5 more talents. The owner commended him for his work and gave him greater responsibility. He was told to enter into the joy of the Lord. So his reward was joy and relationship, enter into the joy of the Lord. The same thing happened with a person who'd received 2 talents. He was commended and given more responsibility. So they were treated exactly the same. It wasn't to do with the money they'd had, it was the responsibility. However, the last servant, who was given 1 talent, was judged harshly by his master. Verse 24 and 27 says, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. Well, that wasn't true, but that was his thinking. And gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, so he was afraid of the master, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. In other words, oh, wasn't I a good boy? I haven't lost your money and I haven't spent your money. Here it is, you can have it back. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown, but that wasn't true, but that's what I was thinking, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with my own interest. Now this servant identified himself with his master, but he didn't make any effort to serve his master. He was called a wicked and lazy servant. Not a very nice title. The servant attacked his master's character and accused him of being a hard man. He said that he had reaped when he had not sown and gathered where he had not scattered any seed. So this lazy and evil servant represents the professing believer who has not responded to the gospel message in spite of having the privilege of hearing the gospel. So you could be brought up in a Christian family and you can know everything there is to know about Jesus, forgiveness of sin, but you haven't responded to the gospel. You've had the privilege of hearing, but you have not responded. And this servant represents a church attendee who will be caught by surprise at the second coming of Jesus. He or she had the privilege of knowing about Jesus, but didn't do anything about it. In the final judgment, we're told that there will be people professing to have followed and served Jesus, but in the end, Jesus will reject them because they've done nothing with the gospel. It says in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There's an actual application for salvation. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those are the people who really don't know Jesus. God knows those who are genuine in their faith and in their relationship with Jesus, even when we're not sure. 28-30, the reward that we will gain. We're told in verses 28-30 that the servant with the one talent that was buried in the ground lost it, and it was taken away and given to the servant who had the 10 talents. In verse 30, it's made clear to us that the last servant represents those who are not true believers, and yet they came to church, they heard the message, but they never responded. Their lives were never changed by God's Holy Spirit. They may have seemed to be Christians outward, but they were like the Pharisees, very educated about God's word, but no personal relationship with Jesus. So if you are a true believer, one day we will have our reward. We will be abundantly blessed with all that God has promised in his word. But for those who are professing to be Christian but have not received Jesus, there is still time to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus. So my appeal to you today, if you don't really know and love Jesus truly in your heart, then today you can come to him. I wouldn't like you to think at the second coming that you came to Osaka International Church, heard the message, and did not respond. The choice is yours. Then finally, we have the judgment of the nations. I'm not going to speak very long about this because we have communion. In the last verses of the final teaching block, Jesus reveals that he is going to judge the nations, verse 32. And by the nations, Jesus reveals that this includes everybody. So at the second coming, Jesus will judge everybody. And nobody is going to escape God's judgment. The Bible makes it clear that all sin is known to God and that all sin must be punished by God. So there's going to be a judgment day. Romans 1, 18 to 23 in the New Living Translation says this, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and tried. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they didn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshipping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere men, like mere people, birds and animals and reptiles. You can see these things all over the world. The wonderful thing is that our sin can be placed upon Jesus Christ, God's Son, and he can take the punishment that we deserve for our sin. So if you're a true Christian today, you can celebrate the communion service with thanksgiving in your heart that Jesus Christ has forgiven all of your sin. He's given us a new life in him. But if you can't celebrate that today, then you need to trust in Jesus. And then next month or next time, you'll be able to celebrate that with joy in your heart. Let's pray.